National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
One on ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which, as you know, is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the south, going down right here on the Freedom Train Network Audio Shop Talk, right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, your mother's boyfriend, your sister's ex, Joseph Ward. Really going down. How y'all doing out there on this good Monday? We got a lot to talk about today. We got some sports. World Cup is happening. I'm trying to figure out about LeBron, all these things here. LeVar Ball running his mouth again. All these things here. So, but you already know, before that, let's get into some housekeeping. The Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. And they do that through their African History book series, the African History blog series, the African History Curriculum app, the nonprofit organization, as well as lectures, speaking engagements, educational classroom sessions, all these things. They have products that's designed for your smartphones, your tablets, smart boards that's in the classrooms, all these things. Make sure you visit the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com, as well as the nonprofit website at www.ontheshoulders.org. Hey, man, y'all support a brother. Support a brother. Get my book, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volumes 1 and 2. Volume 1, North America. Volume 2, Central America. Support your homeboy. Support your homeboy. All right. So, in this world of sports, what are we talking about? So, today on our HBCU Spotlight, shining on Lincoln University for winning the 2018 NCAA Outdoor Track and Field title. Want to discuss the NBA. Where LeBron going? What's happening with Bron? Where he going to go? We're going to talk a little. I'm going to give you my thoughts on that. Give you my thoughts on whether LiAngelo Ball would get drafted. And a lot of stuff that LeVar Ball is saying. I like LeVar Ball, but I can't talk to him about sports. I'm going to get more into that. You know, take you through NBA mock draft and give you the lineup because the draft is Thursday. The NBA draft is Thursday the 21st at 7 p.m. So give you a little mock draft information. Give you an update on the World Cup. I watched three matches yesterday, and I got a chance to watch three good matches. I ain't going to lie. I was falling asleep on the last one, that Nigeria-Croatia. I was falling asleep a little bit, but I got a chance to watch three good matches. It was Argentina against Iceland. Who else? What was the second match? I can't remember, but hey, I come back to all that. I can't remember right now, but I come back to all that. So, the boxer Errol Spence scored a knockout yesterday, that first round knockout. So we're going to talk about that because, you know, we talked about Terrence Crawford the other day. So we'll talk about Errol Spence because, you know, that's a collision course with Crawford and Spence. My off-topic shit today is the Protect and Serve Act. I don't know if many of you ever heard of the Protect and Serve Act and what it is and what it does and the implications on our society. That gives you some information on the Protect and Serve Act. Also, there's a transgender track athlete who won the Connecticut State Championship that has people up in arms. Greg Hardy, the former NFL player who had domestic violence issues, he's now in the UFC. He's a fighter now, and the UFC fighter is mad about that. My weekly rant is aimed at first part of my weekly rant is local. Some crazy-ass white dude that was a former volunteer coach at Childs High School here in Tallahassee. He got arrested for stalking and assault on a 17-year-old, so we got to let his punk ass have it. And then former NFL player Kellen Winslow Jr. is arrested for raping, kidnapping. So we got to get on his ass. So you know how we do it. Started back at the top with our HBCU spotlight. And let's go. All right, congratulations. This HBCU won its 8th NCAA outdoor track and field title. Lincoln University's women's team cruises to championship. And that is the headline on theundefeated.com. So Lincoln University women's track and field team head coach Victor Poppy Thomas had grown sick and tired of near misses in the NCAA Division II national championships. Thomas said his team had missed out on at least 3 national indoor and outdoor titles by a total of 5 points. Thomas and the Blue Tigers left nothing to chance Saturday, building an insurmountable lead and cruising to the team's 8th national outdoor championship at Johnson C. Smith Irwin Belt Complex. Lincoln was led by a quick feat of sophomore Renee Manley, who won the 200-meter dash, finished second in the 100-meter dash, and teamed with Diana Caldwell, Christine Moss, and Cheyenne Vandenberg to win the 4x1 relay in 44:51 seconds. Manley said she had extra incentive in the 200 meters because she wanted revenge on the runner who finished ahead of her in the semifinals. It was a great race, Medley said. In the prelims, I came in second place, and I got lane 3, and the girl who beat me got lane 4. So that really motivated me to just run her down, and I did just that. It's a great feeling to win the national championship with these great ladies. We came in 3rd indoor in the nationals with just 3 girls, so this feels great. Caldwell, a senior, also won the triple jump, as she was second in the long jump, to help the Blue Tigers build a nearly insurmountable lead by midday. I just came out here to deliver and do what my coach said I should do, Caldwell said. This is amazing. It is so amazing to win a national championship. Moss also helped pick up 3rd place finish in the 4x4 in the relay 4, where she teamed with Renee Ambersley, Sajal Brown, and Shanice Clark. I think the girls did excellent, said Thomas, Lincoln's head track and field coach for 15 years. We've had 3 superstars along with the supporting cast who did the job that they were supposed to do, and we were able to pull it off quite comfortably. Lincoln is a historically black university with an enrollment of 3,000-plus students in Jefferson City, Missouri. Blue Tigers finished the meet with 60 points, followed by runners-up St. Augustine's, which in typical fashion climbed from 19th at the start of the day to 2nd place at the end. In fact, St. Augustine's, whose men's and women's team built to achieve the 40th national championship for Coach George Williams, was racing for the 2nd place in the final event and secured it when the Falcons' Shannon Kalawan passed Lincoln runner for the backstretch and crew to the finish line for the St. Augustine's victory in the 4x400-meter relay. Yada, yada, yada. We don't care about no St. Augustine. It's all about Lincoln. So one time for Lincoln. One time for Lincoln. One time for Lincoln. One time for Lincoln. Hey, and so small enrollment in the school, so I mean a small track team. So a small number of women banded together and said, you know what, we ain't falling short this year. 2018 is our year, and we ain't falling short. We're going to come out here and we're going to do it for us. We're going to do it for the coach. We're going to do it for the sport. We're going to do it for the school. And most of all, we're going to do it for us. So let's go down there and shut it down. And they build an insurmountable lead, and the ladies cruise to victory. So one time for the Lincoln University women's track team for women from 18 NCAA outdoor track and field title. Going down, going down, going down, going down. One time for Lincoln out of Missouri. One time for Lincoln out of Missouri. Out of Missouri. When I say Link, y'all say Con. Link. Link. When I say Link, y'all say Con. Link. Link. Already. 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 One time for Lincoln University. One time for Lincoln. All right. What everybody talking about? What the hell will LeBron James end up this 2018-2019 NBA season? And what has to happen to get LeBron to these teams? So we got the Lakers, the 76ers, the Rockets, the Celtics, the Cavaliers, long shot the Spurs, to be teams that will land LeBron James' services next year. And a lot of things have to happen. So I know one thing to keep an eye on also is what's happening with Kawhi Leonard. So where is Kawhi Leonard going? Is he getting traded from San Antonio? And if Kawhi Leonard does get traded from San Antonio, will he go to the Lakers? And if Kawhi go to the Lakers, will that be something that could get Paul George and LeBron James to the Lakers? And so the Lakers will have to restructure their roster, but the Lakers do have tradable pieces. Pretty much all the pieces on the Lakers are tradable. Pretty much all of them. Now, some you want to keep. You might want to keep a Julius Randle or something like that. Lonzo, if I have LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul, I don't need Lonzo, so I'm trading Lonzo. I know I'm gonna keep a Julius Randle. You're probably gonna have to trade Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. So a lot will have to happen for LeBron to go to the Lakers. I don't see LeBron going to the Lakers as is. Then we talked about on Friday about Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma's little internet rap beef, light skin bitch boy stuff, right? So let me go more into Kawhi Leonard, because Kawhi doesn't want to be, according to reports, Kawhi don't want to be in San Antonio. So since reportedly Kawhi don't want to be in San Antonio, he could get traded to the Lakers. And for him to get traded to the Lakers, like I said, you could give up. Now, if you're talking about Kawhi, then I'd give up. I'd probably keep Lonzo, and I'd give up Kuzma and Ingram, because Kawhi is not a person, Kawhi need a point guard. So it's an interesting thing that's going on. So that's LeBron with the Lakers. So what about LeBron with the 76ers? LeBron with the 76ers is a pretty good fit if LeBron is cool with playing off the ball, to me. Because I can't see Ben Simmons playing off the ball because he can't shoot. And if Ben Simmons can't shoot, then we could play him differently with him being off the ball, right? And, of course, Ben Simmons is a threat driving to the basket because he's big and strong. Ben Simmons is 6'10". He's taller than LeBron. He's just not bigger than LeBron as far as weight-wise, but he's taller than LeBron. So you will have to worry about Ben Simmons driving to the basket, but that is forte. But that's why you game plan to stop that. But I don't love LeBron to Philly because I'm not understanding how the LeBron Ben Simmons dynamic would fit. That's my only concern, is Ben Simmons being able to be a good wingman. Can Ben do that? LeBron with the Rockets, another issue is, once again, LeBron playing off the ball or playing with the ball, because now you got LeBron, Harden, and Paul, all three who need the ball. But I think LeBron can make an adjustment. Cavs, I don't see LeBron staying with the Cavs. I don't want – let me rephrase that. Let me restate that rap. I don't want LeBron to stay with the Cavs. Fuck the Cavs. Fuck Dan Gilbert, man. Mostly not the Cavs. Let me take that back. Not fuck the Cavs, but fuck Dan Gilbert. I don't want LeBron to stay with the Cavs. I want LeBron to leave. I'm not seeing how the Cavs will be able to contend with Golden State. I'm just not seeing that. So I want LeBron to leave. I want LeBron to go somewhere. Now, like I said, Boston. Boston is another option. Of course, you'll probably end up having to trade Kyrie, but that's cool. Trade Kyrie. Get you something good back for Kyrie. Then the Boston team has vastly improved. That Boston team with LeBron, because you'll still probably have Gordon Hayward, right? LeBron, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford. Come on, man. Brad Stevens. Might not have to give up much. Some pieces are going to be given up. Probably lose Marquise Morris. Probably lose Marcus Smart. May or may not lose Terry Rozier. But I like Boston. I like that Boston destination for LeBron. I do. Also, another option that was on the table, but I still think it's a long shot, to San Antonio. And that's more so because of Greg Popovich rather than anybody else. Right? More so Greg Popovich than anybody else, or if you can convince Kawhi to stay. If you can convince Kawhi to stay, that'll be better. That'll be better for LeBron than just going to San Antonio without a Kawhi, because we know Kawhi wouldn't leave. So this LeBron stuff is interesting, man. Like I said, I don't want him to stay in Cleveland. I really don't. I really don't want LeBron to stay in Cleveland. Dan Gilbert just crossed the line a long time ago, and I just don't think the Cleveland Cavaliers deserve LeBron's services because of their owner. I think their owner messed it up for everybody in the Cleveland stratosphere, and LeBron should hit the road and not look back. This time, don't ever look back again. You don't owe Cleveland anything. You boost the economy. You brought them rings. The Cleveland Cavaliers have went to the NBA Finals 4 years in a row. I'm going to just leave that at that with Cleveland. So LeBron, I would like to see LeBron in Boston. That would be nice to have LeBron in Boston, because I just think Boston has everything that could roll with LeBron and make it happen and compete with Golden State and possibly beat Golden State. Boston won't be afraid of Golden State like Cleveland was. Boston is a better disciplined team as well. Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach. A lot of people say he's the best coach in the league. I slow down on that for right now. You know, let the man win some more. But Brad Stevens is a very, very, very good coach. I like what Boston does. I like their toughness. I would love to see LeBron go to Boston, more so than anything. Stay in the East, so you can meet the Warriors in the NBA championship. Houston is cool, but Chris Paul going to get hurt. James Harden's going to not show up. Philly, like I told you about Philly, my issues is James and Simmons. How does that work? Because Ben Simmons can't shoot, and Ben Simmons needs the ball. Now, LeBron can play off the ball. LeBron does have the ability to play off the ball, but LeBron has been to 8 straight finals playing with the ball. And with Kyrie, he was able to share time with the ball, and that we see that work. But, you know, they just have to work it out. Now, Ben Simmons ain't Kyrie, and Kyrie ain't Ben Simmons. So, you know, we just have to stick around and kind of see how that goes, how that works, and what happens with that. Now, another dynamic that could possibly the LeBron thing is like LiAngelo Ball, right? LiAngelo Ball being drafted. Now, LeVar Ball, the father of the Ball Boys, wants his son LiAngelo to be drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers. The reason he took his son out of UCLA and took him over to Lithuania is so he could get playing time, because he was coming off the bench at UCLA. And according to him and his father, he was the best player on the team. like I said, according to him and his father, right? So now the question is, after LiAngelo spent in Lithuania, is LiAngelo good enough to be picked? Is he good enough to play in the NBA? LiAngelo may be good enough to play in the NBA. He may be. Will LiAngelo be a star? Probably not. Will he be? He probably, LiAngelo probably could be a very, very serviceable role player for the NBA. But I'm not sure about LiAngelo Ball being a great NBA player. I'm just not. I'm not sure about that. About LiAngelo Ball, from what I've seen, he can shoot, has a pretty nice shot. He's average at everything. His shot is the best thing he could do, but he's not the best shooter. He's definitely not top talent in this draft. Definitely not. But I do think, from looking at the mock draft and all that, man, I do think LiAngelo could possibly get second, third round pick or something like that. But definitely don't go off of what his father say and what he say about his talent. Of course, he and his father are supposed to like that, but we all know that LiAngelo ain't the stud out there. He ain't the best in this draft. He wouldn't be the best last year's draft or the next year's draft. Probably not even the same draft with his brother, with his youngest brother. Bigger than expected. Now let me read this. Let me read this article to you from the Bleacher Report. LiAngelo Ball is keeping an open mind with less than a week remaining until the NBA draft. On Friday, Ball told Bleacher Report that he believes he'll be among the 60-plus selected Thursday night at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. He's willing to travel any path necessary to lock down a spot on the NBA roster. I feel pretty good going into the draft, Ball said after his workout with the Golden State Warriors, per the Mercury News, Mark Medina. I feel like I'm going to get drafted. I feel like I can produce for a team, but if I don't, I'll go to the G League and be a free agent or join the Summer League team. It's hard to knock Ball's confidence, but every indication to this point suggests he won't be drafted. Right. And that's been consistent throughout the whole season, throughout this whole process with LiAngelo. I'm not going to lie. That's been the consistency. The consistent story is there's a good chance that LiAngelo ain't going to get drafted. So we are seeing. But, I think LiAngelo could, but he might, off the marketing skills of his father. He might. But if he's not better than Lonzo, then that's scary. I'm not sure I want to draft that guy. Because if he's not better than Lonzo, ooh. Because Lonzo's good, but Lonzo ain't that dude. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot to go with everything. I don't know. So we're gonna see with LiAngelo. I do, and I'm stuttering a lot, and I feel like I'm lost for words, and I am at a loss for words because it's a conundrum for me. Because I do like the Ball family. I'm not gonna lie, I do like them. I can't talk to LeVar Ball about sports because he's delusional. Because he's, and rightfully so, he has a single mind focus on his sons going to the NBA, playing all on one team and fulfilling this dream that he has for his boys. Whatever. If that's what he want to do, that's what he want to do. But the reality of the situation is that's pretty much not going to happen. All three of his boys playing on the Lakers. I'm not, if I'm any NBA team, there is no, first of all, your youngest son is 16 right now. So we got to wait 2-3 years, maybe even 4 years before we can even mess with him. You got one son that's in the NBA, and right now he's not proven, he hasn't lived up to the expectations of a second pick in the draft. The father, LeVar, is a distraction because he talked too damn much and he think he can coach. One of the issues I do have with LeVar is, LeVar, you can't coach at no damn NBA level. Stop that. No, you can't. I don't care what you say. You can't coach at no NBA level. You haven't proven to be a good coach. You haven't proven to be a coach at any level, really. Right? You've proven to get coaches fired. You've proven to be a problem for coaches everywhere you go. And when you don't get your way, and that's the main thing with LeVar Ball, is when LeVar don't get his way, he act like a little bitch. Right? Let's just call it what it is. LeVar pouts and screams and shouts when he don't get his way. So the shots that he took at Luke Walton, man, come on, dog. Come on. There's no way. They're going to ask LeVar Ball if he would coach the Lakers. To me, that's disrespectful to the Lakers coach. Like, LeVar Ball cannot coach. LeVar Ball ain't no NBA level caliber coach. LeVar Ball can't even coach in college. Let's stop that. Let's stop that now. And then the man is saying that his sons are at their best when they play together. So basically your sons ain't good. Because if your sons have to play together to play their best, then they not good. So what's the point of me drafting LiAngelo, who's already said to be the worst of the three, and you on record saying that LiAngelo, and this is the devil's advocate in me, this is not Joseph Hayes, this is just devil's advocate speaking for both sides. So if LiAngelo is the worst of the three, and you already going on record saying that your sons play their best when they play together, why should I draft LiAngelo? What is LiAngelo going to do to help my team? How is he going to help my team? Why didn't he help UCLA? Why was he coming off the bench at UCLA? Of course, LeVar is always everybody else's fault with LeVar. It's always everybody else's fault. Let me read some more of this article to you. ESPN.com's Adrian Wojnarowski reported in December that Ball has no chance to be selected, and Hoop scribe Jeff Goodman said in late May that after speaking with several NBA executives, none of them feel he's talented enough to play in the G League. Ball, a former UCLA commit who never suited up for the Bruins following a shoplifting scandal in China, is also unlikely to suit up alongside his brother Lonzo with the Los Angeles Lakers. I wouldn't do it. If I'm Magic and the Lakers, I am not wasting a draft pick on LiAngelo. According to US Today's Sam Amick, team officials have no interest in drafting or signing the 19-year-old for the NBA team or even the G League team, South Bay Lakers. LiAngelo is not listed among the top 50 prospects on Jonathan Westerman's latest big board and went undrafted in the most recent mock draft. So that's just a little quick thing, but it's a lot that comes with LiAngelo that hurts him getting drafted. And the thing that we have to remind Lonzo, if you want to remind him, especially that stuff with him and Kyle Kuzma. And I feel like, and I want to come back, because I feel like I went more in on Lonzo. And I actually did go more in on Lonzo than last week with the Kyle Kuzma thing. Both of y'all start acting like bitches. Both of y'all start acting like light-skinned, hoe-ass bitches, man. Let me just say it like that. So, but that's a lot that comes with this Ball family, especially with their father, because the father don't know when to shut up. I like LeVar. It may sound like I don't like LeVar. I like LeVar, but LeVar needs to shut up sometime. He got to know when to close his mouth, and LeVar don't know when to close his mouth. LeVar is that dude who wants his way, and when he don't get his way, it's a problem. LeVar, you got to learn to close your mouth, B. Got to close your mouth, B. You got to. Sometimes you can't keep attacking head coaches because things don't go your way. You can't say that, well, the coach makes my son's season and he ain't coaching. No, nobody's going to talk to your sons the way you talk to your son. Of course nobody know your son the way you know your son, fool. That's your son. Duh. That's your son. You've been with him. You shot him out of your sack. Duh. But that don't mean that somebody can't coach your son, man. You're the parent that needs to back the hell off and let your grown sons be grown sons. Now, talking about the NBA draft, the 2018 NBA mock draft. So this is like the top 30. I didn't see LiAngelo's name in this top 30, but I don't feel like all of these dudes in the top 30 are amazingly better than LiAngelo as well. So that's why I said at the beginning that I feel that LiAngelo could possibly have a chance of getting drafted. But that's, you know, that's just looking at the name, because I'm looking at this mock draft, and I start from the bottom up. So let me start at number 30 with the Atlanta Hawks. And the Atlanta Hawks are projected to get Mitchell Robinson. And Mitchell Robinson is 7 feet and weighs 233 pounds. And it says Robinson might be the most enigmatic prospect in the draft, with their range as high as just outside the lottery all the way until the second round. The size and talent are there, but teams could have a question about his drive and commitment after skipping his long year in college basketball. So number 29, the Brooklyn Nets projected to get Jacob Evans, a 6'6 junior, weigh 210, got good size and strength for his position. He can be an immediate contributor on the defensive end, to have no trouble in a switch heavy defense, has 3-point shooting ability. So if you can shoot and play defense, you can find a job in this league. So 28 would be Golden State Warriors, and he can get Kyrie Thomas, who is a 6'4 guard, who's a junior, weighs 200 pounds, steady with the great length. Thomas is low risk, a heady guard who won't make unforced mistakes and can immediately stretch the floor with his offense. So that's scary for Golden State. Boston Celtics, Josh Okogie, who's a guard, a sophomore guard, 6'4", 213, out of Georgia Tech. Okogie has good size and a great motor, but his offensive instincts can feel a little hectic at times. He should immediately be able to hold his own on the defensive end. And I'm reading this mock draft from the USA Today. Philadelphia 76ers at the 26th pick could get guard, the junior guard, Jerome Robinson. And he's 6'5", 188. It's not hard to see what scouts like about Robinson. He's a poised, steady guard with good size who can occasionally explode to the rim. It's a comfortable score, could easily command second unit off the bench. So he could be a good sixth man. They're saying the Lakers could get De'Anthony Melton, a guard from USC, 6'3", 193. The Portland Trailblazers could get Katia Bates, Diop, who's a junior forward out of Ohio State. He's 6'8", 233. You could, so 23 is Indiana Pacers. And that might be a nice fit for the Pacers. Dante DiVincenzo, the guard out of Villanova. He's 6'5", 200, who shot the nation in the NCAA tournament last year. So, you know, look out for that. Chicago Bulls could get Chandler Hutchinson, who's a guard out of Boise State, who's a senior. He's 6'7", 197. So the Utah Jazz could get Kevin Herter, who's a forward, a 6'7 forward out of Maryland. He weighs 190. Minnesota Timberwolves could get Dizanin Musa, who's out of Croatia. He's 6'9", 195. The Atlanta Hawks could get Eli Okobo, who's from France, who's a 180, out of France. San Antonio Spurs could get Troy Brown, who's a freshman forward out of Oregon, who's 6'7", 208. Milwaukee Bucks could get Aaron Holiday, who is a junior guard out of UCLA, who's 6'1", 185. Phoenix Suns could get Zaire Smith, who's a freshman guard out of Texas Tech, who's 6'4", 198. The Wizards at the 15th pick could get Shai Glacius Alexander, who's a freshman guard out of Kentucky, who's 6'6", 180. So the 14th pick could go to the Denver Nuggets, and they could get Kevin Knox, who's a freshman forward out of Kentucky, who's 6'9", 215. The Clippers, with the 13th pick, could get Robert Williams, who's a sophomore center from Texas A&M, who's 6'10", 241. The Clippers could get Lonnie Walker, who's a freshman guard out of Miami, who's 6'5", 196. Charlotte Hornets could get Miles Bridges, who was projected to be at the top of the draft, but he had some injuries. He's a sophomore forward. My bad. I was thinking about the dude from Missouri. My bad. So Miles Bridges could potentially go to the Charlotte Hornets at 11. He's a 6'7", 220 forward out of Michigan State, who's a sophomore. The 76ers could get Mikal Bridges, who's a junior guard from Villanova, 6'7", 210. The Knicks could get Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton is my homie, the guard from Alabama, 6'2", 183, who set the world on fire. The Cavs could get Trae Young. In this mock draft, they're saying the Cavs could get Trae Young, the guard out of Oklahoma, the point guard out of Oklahoma, who's like 6'2", 177. Wendell Carter Jr. could out of Duke, freshman forward out of Duke, could go to Chicago. He's 6'10", 251. That's the seventh pick. The Orlando Magic could get the center, the freshman center out of Texas, who's 7'1", 235. Bo Mamba, 225. Bo Mamba out of Texas. With the fifth pick, Dallas Mavericks could get Jaren Jackson, freshman forward out of Michigan State, who's 6'11", 235. With the fourth pick, the Memphis Grizzlies could get Luka Doncic, who is the guard from Real Madrid, the 6'8", 19-year-old, 220 out of Real Madrid, everybody's excited about. The Hawks could get Marvin Bagley, the third, who's a freshman forward out of Duke, who is 6'11", 235. Most people are saying he's the best player in this draft. Sacramento Kings could get Michael Porter Jr., who is the freshman. So Michael Porter Jr. is the one I was talking about, who was at the beginning of the season projected to be at the top of the draft, but he had a couple injuries, a couple things that kind of knocked him down. But he's still number two pick, projected to go number two to Sacramento Kings, 6'11", 211. All right, and then the number one pick, the team that's the number one pick in the draft is the Phoenix Suns. And they're projected to get DeAndre Ayton, who's the 7'1", 250, 250 pounds freshman center out of Arizona, who is a baller. Ayton is a baller. Now, you got people debating whether Ayton is better than Bagley. They say Bagley has more long-term upside than Ayton, but we'll see. But that's the mock draft from 30 to 1, and as you can see, LiAngelo Ball's name is not in that. So we're going to see what happens with LiAngelo, what happens in the draft, what happens with LeBron, what happens in the NBA. So be on the lookout for that. Remember, the NBA draft is Thursday, June 21st at 7 p.m., most likely on ESPN. All right. Ole, 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 ole. Ole, 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 ole. Soccer's here. And if you ain't know, now you know soccer is here. World Cup is here. And the World Cup action got started with Russia against Saudi Arabia. And Russia kicked things off like they're supposed to, beating Saudi Arabia 5-0 in the opening day of the World Cup, which was Thursday. Yeah, Thursday was the opening day of the World Cup. And, yeah, Russia handled business. Friday, you had Egypt and Uruguay, Morocco and Iran, and Portugal and Spain. Saturday, you had France, Australia, Argentina, Iceland, Peru and Denmark, Croatia and Nigeria. Sunday, it's Switzerland, it's Serbia and Costa Rica, Germany and Mexico, and then Brazil and Switzerland. So, and then upcoming, of course, you know, this Monday, I think you got Sweden, South Korea, Belgium, Panama, Tunisia, England. Some of those games are some of those matches are coming up. So, yeah. So let's talk about it. Russia, like I said, Russia, Saudi Arabia. Russia beat Saudi Arabia 5-0. Egypt lost to Uruguay 1-0. 0-1, rather. Uruguay beat Egypt 1-0. Morocco lost to Iran. Iran has they won 1-0 in the game. Portugal and Spain had a 3-3 tie. And Ronaldo for Spain scored all three of Spain's goals. So with that, they expected Messi from Argentina to score three goals. Messi didn't have a good game. I watched Argentina-Iceland. Before I get that, France beat Australia 2-1. So that helps. So Argentina and Iceland. Iceland, I haven't watched much of Iceland, but Iceland is a tough team, physically tough team. Their defense was strong. Iceland was not allowing Argentina offensively to do what they want to do. They were bullying them. Messi is not a big guy. Very quick, but Messi is not a big guy, and that was frustrating Messi the whole game. Messi had a free kick, and that was frustrating him so much that his free kick, he couldn't even score on the free kick. It was just him and the goalie, and he missed that, and the goalie, you know, the goalie stopped it. Messi had a real rough game. It's just one game. And Argentina did tie Iceland, but it wasn't expected that Argentina tie Iceland. But as I told you Thursday, it's not like Argentina is a favorite. Messi is just that damn good. Then you got Denmark and Peru. Denmark beat Peru. That game, that was a night. That was a pretty good back and forth game with Denmark and Peru. That was pretty good back and forth, but Denmark was able to get the goal, the go ahead goal, and Peru just couldn't score. It was a game where both teams were evenly matched, but Denmark was able to get the goal. And with Denmark able to get the goal, that helped them win because, you know, you only got 90 minutes to play. But it wasn't like Denmark outmatched or dominated Peru. Peru couldn't score. Peru kept missing shots. They had a lot of shots on goal that they missed. And that hurt Peru because Peru had chances. Denmark made the best of their one good chance to score, and they got that goal. But for the most part, Peru couldn't put the ball in the hole. They kept missing. And then the Croatia-Nigeria, like I said, I was falling asleep a bit on this game. But Nigeria has talent, but Nigeria may not be around this tournament long unless they turn it around. Croatia could score. Nigeria couldn't score. Nigeria had a lot of issues with Croatia. And it seemed like strategy, it seemed like not necessarily athleticism, because, you know, Nigeria got a whole bunch of black folk on their team. So, but Nigeria being a young team, Croatia being a more experienced team, was able to pull out the victory. Now, like I said, these all are just the first game. So everything could turn around. Sunday's matches, Costa Rica and Serbia. So Serbia beat Costa Rica 1-0. So for the morning match, Mexico and Germany playing, and Mexico is up on Germany 1-0, and that match has not ended yet. So we'll talk about that match, and then Brazil and Switzerland will be the late match on the Sunday. So I get all those scores and everything for you next time I talk to you. On Thursday, I get the follow-up scores on Brazil and Switzerland and Germany and Mexico. But right now, Germany is up on Mexico. Peru did beat New Zealand 2-0. And then Australia beat Honduras 3-1. So those are updates on what's going on in the World Cup. I'm excited about bringing you what's happening with Brazil and Switzerland, because, you know, I like Brazil, and then Germany and Mexico, because Germany is the defending champion. So on Thursday, I will have that information for you. Already. Let's talk some boxing. And I finally got a chance to see Errol Spence fight, but it wasn't a long fight. Errol Spence fought, what's your man's name? Ocampo. Errol Spence got a chance to fight Carlos Ocampo. Or let me say it like this. Carlos Ocampo got a chance to fight Errol Spence because Ocampo was the next contender, the next available contender, the fourth contender, if you will, the one available to fight. This one was not expected for Ocampo to even be a challenge towards Spence. And, yeah, it wasn't. Now, it was a first-round TKO body shot. Errol Spence took Ocampo out in the first round. 1 second left on the clock. Hit him with a bam, double body shot to the body. Ocampo went down for the 10 count. It's over. And really didn't get a chance to really feel out Spence as a fighter, so I still have to go back and watch some old Errol Spence fights, kind of see what type of fighter he is overall. But what I do know is that Errol Spence has power, definitely has power, as he dropped Ocampo in the first round with body shots. And he hit him with a whole bunch of body shots, too. He hit him with a number of body shots that Ocampo just couldn't take. And that's why Ocampo ended up on that round, ended up on that mat. One thing I did learn about Errol Spence is he's a Dallas Cowboy rider. And Jerry Jones was in the ring. Fuck Jerry Jones, too. But Jerry Jones is in the ring after the fight over there dapping up, hugging, and talking to Errol Spence. And, you know, Carlos Ocampo came. He got conquered. Let me read this to you. Errol Spence Jr. successfully defends his IBF welterweight championship with the first round knockout of mandatory challenger. Remember, Ocampo was the mandatory challenger. Did they made his ass fight? Carlos Ocampo on Saturday. Ocampo, for someone that was given little chance in the bout, landed some hard shots early and did well to respond to Spence's punches. But in the final seconds of the first round, Spence landed a left-right hook combo to the body that dropped Ocampo for the first and last time. Spence is now 24-0 with 21 knockouts on his career. And in the post-fight interview, he said he was disappointed that he ended the fight so early that he wanted to give the crowd a good fight. In the first bout of the Showtime card, Javier Fonta took on Adrian Garandos in a super lightweight contest. Turner controlled the action throughout the first two rounds and arguably won the third. Garandos picked up steam in the fourth and was assisted by the referee taking 2 points from Fortuna in the round, primarily for too much grabbing and a rabbit punch. After those points were taken, Fortuna turned it on and started chasing Garandos to salvage the round. He threw some heavy hooks, and the odd scene occurred when Garandos put Fortuna's back against the ropes, where he was loose enough that Fortuna appeared to lose his balance and fall through the ropes, where he either hit his head overextended his neck or something similar to it, because he was immediately put in a neck brace and the fight was canceled off. But damn. Because there were 10 rounds left in the four round, the judges cannot render a decision unless four rounds have been completed. The fight was ruled no contest. In the post-fight interview, Garandos implied that Fortuna was playing up the injury and that he thought Fortuna played it off. Yeah, and all that. So I don't really care about all of them. But Errol Spence dominated Ocampo in the first round of this boxing match. So now what's next for Errol Spence? Is it Thornton? Is it Clarence? I mean, we got to see some fights, man. We got to see some good fights. We know we got Wilder, Joshua coming up, as I told you on Thursday, and Spence and Clarence. So keep an eye on boxing, man. Keep an eye on boxing. I'm going to give you that little boxing nugget real quick. All right, so let's talk some off-topic shit. This, you know, my new segment for my Sunday shows is off-topic shit. Well, I give you information on some shit that's off-topic, but relevant to us as black folk in America. And our off-topic shit is talking about the Protect and Serve Act. And if you don't know what the Protect and Serve Act, you will learn today, because we now have a bill that makes the police even more invincible to go out and do dumb shit, and they are protected by the Protect and Serve Act. And this is the article by Emanuela Grinberg of CNN.com. Harming a police officer is already a crime under federal law, and all 50 states have laws that enhance penalties for doing so. But a new bill molded after a federal hate crime statute would make it a crime to intentionally target a law enforcement officer based on his actual or perceived status as one. Wow. Republican and Democrat sponsors of the Protect and Serve Act say its goal is to protect law enforcement officers from ambushes and violence for simply being a police officer, which is some bullshit because police officers do that at a greater rate to citizens than citizens have done to police officers. There's maybe around 6 police officers that has happened. That don't happen to police officers enough for this bill to be put in place. I would say that. Opponents of the bill introduced Tuesday say its language effectively designates any violence against officers as a federal hate crime, perpetuates the false narratives of the war on police, which is not. It's a war on citizens. It's a war on black people, but not a war on police. The Protect and Serve Act of 2018 makes clear that no criminal would be able to escape justice when he singles out and assaults those who put on the badge every day to keep us safe, Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah said in a statement. These heinous, cowardly assaults are an attack on not just law enforcement, but the rule of law. Hatch's office did not respond to requests for comment over criticism of the bill. Okay, so what about the police officer when the officers decide that they want to just terrorize people? How are we supported? Y'all better start paying attention to what's going on. Don't be, I love sports and this is a sports show, but don't be so caught up in the sports that you lose sight on what's going on. That's why I start introducing this off-topic shit, right? The bill has the support of major law enforcement groups, including the Federal Order of Police, National Association of Police Organizations, and the National Sheriff's Organization, who say law enforcement is facing increasing attacks, which is a lot. The bill sponsor cited Department of Justice report on police ambushes, which shows a downward trend through the 1990s and 2000s until the late 2000s and early 2010s, when the numbers trended slightly higher, according to the report. Come on, man. Really high enough to put this bill in? Really? This bill is critical, and there is a serious and growing trend of armed attacks on law enforcement officers, said William Johnson, executive director of the National Association of Police Organizations. William Johnson, you a fucking liar. The NAPO, the National Association of Police Organizations, has long been fighting to establish stricter penalties for those who harm or target law enforcement officers. NAPO strongly believes that increased penalties make important differences in the attitudes of criminals toward public safety officers and ensure protection for the community. Really, all that does is give the police immunity to be even more of terrorists to citizens. That's what that law does. It gives police immunity to be even more of terrorists to citizens because the average everyday citizen who have no idea that this Protect and Serve Act exists will only be trying to protect themselves from the terroristic acts of certain police officers, and you will get fucked up. That's what I'm telling y'all. Two versions of the bill were introduced Tuesday in the House and Senate. Each includes a maximum sentence of 10 years for causing serious bodily injury and a potential life sentence for killing or trying to kill an officer. So if you are in a position where you're trying to protect yourself, there are laws in place to say, well, the police, we're in the police state, and we, especially if you're black and we have no laws, and this Protect and Serve Act is showing that we really have no laws and all of our constitutional rights or perceived or supposed constitutional rights are being stripped away from us. But you know, as black people, the Constitution will protect black people in it. So this is the Protect and Serve Act. I encourage y'all to go learn more about it, look it up, learn it, remember it, see how it affects and hurts you, because this is some things that is going on in our community that we should know about. And this, my friends, is my off-topic shit segment. The Protect and Serve Act. Don't say you wasn't warned. Don't say you ain't know. Because that's why I introduced this segment, off-topic shit, so we'll know that some flugaze shit is starting to happen with these police officers and these lawmakers. And that's why we got to have the right people in the right places to make laws and make laws happen. So remember that. All right, let's move on. So a transgender track athlete in the state of Connecticut is causing waves, right? Because it's a transgender male to female, and it's the state of Connecticut high school athletics is in an uproar. Let's put it like that. So Terry Miller and Andrea Yearwood dominated the competition at Connecticut's Girl Track and Field State Championships earlier this week. Miller took first place in both the 100-200-meter dash, while Yearwood finished second in the 100, according to News 8 in Hartford, Connecticut. Both Miller and Yearwood are transgender, which has some people saying that the pair had an unfair advantage. Yeah, I can see. Male to female transgender. According to News 8, petitions have been started by some parents and student athletes to try to change the policy that allows athletes in high schools to compete for the gender-specific sport they identify with. But the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference says in order for that to happen, state law would also need to change. The station spoke to several people who were largely in favor of allowing Miller and Yearwood to compete against the girl. You have some people who believe men are stronger and faster, so I can understand that if an athlete is born male but identifying as a female and competing as one, some females will feel a particular way about it, Clinton Baker said. Identifying as a female doesn't make you a female, and being born with extra muscular build does help. The hormones that they take, I don't even know what they take, because I know certain hormones can take to reverse certain things, but that woman will still be stronger than the women who were born women. So this is a sticky one. This is an iffy one. This is an iffy one because identification and genetics are two different things. Because I can identify as a woman all day, but guarantee you, if I identified as a woman and I start looking as a woman, even if I took hormones and things, me right now, I would go out there and I would dust women on the track. I would dust them on that track. If she identifies as a girl, then I think she should be able to run the race because she can use the ladies' room. She can wear a skirt. Why not stay active? Natasha Morgan said. Using the ladies' room and competing in an athletic competition are two different things. Because I don't want to be discriminatory. I don't want people to think that I would discriminate against a transgender athlete. But at the same time, a transgender male to female does have a physical advantage on women who were born women. Let's not act like that. That's not real. Let's not act like a transgender female who is a male, who's identifying as a female, does not have a physical advantage over a female who was born a female. Let's not act like that doesn't happen. And being able to use a bathroom, a wear an item of clothing, is not the same as competing in an athletic competition. And being that the females identifying as females, transgender females identifying as females, and being athletic as well does not help. This is a tough situation, a tough call. I'm glad I don't have to make the decisions in this because I don't want to deny anyone the opportunity to compete. I don't want to deny anyone the opportunity to be a part of a team. But at the same time, I don't want to give an advantage to a particular team because of a person's choice to identify themselves a certain way. See what I'm saying? So this is a sticky one. What would you do? If you was in this situation, all my listeners, if you was in this situation and you had to make the call, what would you do? Leave comments on the post, at me on Twitter, at JoeWar84. Tell me what you would do. Check me out on Instagram, Freedom Train Network. What would you do if you had to make the choice in this decision? Would you allow the transgender athletes to compete against the sex that they that they identify with? Or would you have to compete as their birth sex? Because in a way, if you kind of look at it, and I'm trying to look at this from all sides, so don't try to think I'm being, because I know we're in a day and age where people are insensitive, but is it cheating if a transgender male to female competes with females who were born females? Are they cheating? Because we know that the male would be athletically, will be stronger. Is it cheating? So I don't know. This is a tough one. Do you just create something for only transgender male and female to compete against each other? I mean, because you've created something for only males to compete and only females to compete. So do you create something for only transgender female to male to compete and only transgender female to male to compete? That's an option. That's a viable option. To me, it don't seem like a crazy option. And you can say, well, that's segregation, it's discrimination. Well, it's not. Is it? I mean, hell, men aren't competing against women. Let's just be real. Men are not out there competing against women. And when you're, and even though you are transgender, male to female, and you identify as female, you're still a male competing as a female. You're a male competing as a female who's identifying as a female who's competing with females. The reality. And you identify as a female. You want to be labeled as a female, but genetically, in your makeup, you're still a male who's competing against females. So I do want to say that. Let's not, and you can be mad at what I'm saying, but it's the truth. Identification does not change your genetic makeup. How I classify myself will never change my genetic makeup. And I don't have a problem with, I really don't give a damn enough, I care enough across the board about how people classify themselves. But if we're talking about athletics, I'm not going to lie and say I don't feel some type of way about a transgender male competing, a transgender male to female competing in athletics where they're competing against women or females who were born female. I don't have a good feeling about that. I do feel some type of way about that. I do feel, and then you're winning because you are stronger, which is no secret. So I do feel some type of way about that. So, but y'all tell me how y'all feel. I can't make a final decision. I don't know totally what I would do, but I do feel some type of way about the male to female competing against females. Because at what stage of hormone therapy are you? How much testosterone do you have coursing through your body? And to me, those questions have to be answered because I do know at a certain level, you can have a drop in testosterone. A certain level of testosterone is not coursing through your body like regular males, and muscle mass and all those things could reduce. But see, those questions have to be asked because where's your level of hormone therapy? So it gets kind of technical with that. It still get kind of technical with that stuff there. So it's just questions I have. And since we don't have all the answers to it, we can't say. But that's just how I feel about it. All right. Now, former NFL player and woman beater, Greg Hardy, is now a UFC fighter. And I'm still mad that Jerry Jones wasted money on Greg Hardy. The UFC signed Greg Hardy, and women's flyweight Jessica Rose Clark has a problem with Greg Hardy fighting in the UFC. And her main issue is because she's a domestic violence survivor, she doesn't think that Greg Hardy should be fighting. So let's read. A domestic violence survivor, Clark says she's very against the promotion's decisions to sign the former NFL star whose history of domestic violence is well documented. Now, being a perpetrator of domestic violence does not, in my book, does not mean you should never be able to work again. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you should never be able to work again. I don't believe people like that change 30-year-old fighter said during an appearance in the Phone Booth Fighting podcast. And that's her. That's her opinion. And she can feel like that. She can feel how she feels. I do think Greg Hardy is a bitch, a fuckboy, a pussy hole. I do. But I don't believe that Greg Hardy should not be ever be able to work again. I don't think Greg Hardy should be banned from the UFC. She can feel how she want to feel, but I don't agree with that. Clark, who's scheduled to face Jessica Eye in UFC Night 132, spoke about her own experience with domestic violence and how it shaped her opinions on those who perpetrate. So she has a warped view on people who perpetrate domestic violence. The native Australian said that while her former fiancé, Julian Wallace, pleaded guilty in 2016 to two counts of assault, he received just a 15-month suspended sentence, a small fine, and was allowed to retain his passport by Australian authorities. They gave him his second chance, and I am a firm believer that someone who is capable of going as far as he went with me, and I know he's been further with other women before him, he's not going to change, Clark said. So even in this Greg Hardy situation, she's reliving her experience. But I'm not up the ill to say that. I don't know why I say up the ill. I'm not up the school that say people cannot totally change. I know people can. Some people don't want to change. But, you know, I still don't think just because you committed domestic violence means that society should just shut you out. Because that means that should go both ways for men and women. But we've been more contrite to murderers. We've been more contrite to people who've committed rape, child sexual assault. So, and you know, people pick and choose who they want to like and don't like to. So, he could do all the convincing and lying to the world. And he can convince you that he's really a good person. But he who is at his core is someone who's capable and willing to do stuff like that. So, Wallace, best known for his role in the viral video, saw him bully and then get knocked out by UFC fighter Ben Nguyen. Ben Nguyen was charged after an April incident in which he reported confronted Clark at home after she brought home the wrong noodles for dinner. He accused her of infidelity, then pursued to kick her in the head while wearing boots, hit her in the face and knee her in the ribs, and then threw her to the ground. He also tried to choke her, but Clark said she broke out the hold and knocked him out with the head kick before calling the police. And not belittling her situation, but at the same time, I don't believe that any person should just totally be shut out from society because of domestic violence. Now, if you are continuously doing it over and over and over and over again, that's another thing. You just need your ass whooped. I think when you start handling domestic violence, I think some people need to get fucked up, man. Some people who perpetuate domestic violence, they just need to be fucked up and rehabilitated. But they do need to get fucked up, because you got to understand that you can't do that. It got to be consequences to your actions, man. I got to bust you in your shit. I got to run you over with my car. I got to hit you in your jaw with a baseball bat. I should castrate you. I'll sew your asshole shut and feed you. Going back to Wu-Tang. But I don't believe that just because you commit domestic violence that you should be shut out from society. But I do believe that if you don't show the ability to be rehabilitated and doing something different, then yeah, fuck you. And all you repeat domestic violence motherfuckers, fuck y'all too. And I understand where she's coming from, but I don't totally agree with it across the board. So, you know, that's my place on that. But Greg Hardy is now in the UFC, and apparently he scored a victory. He got a victory in his first fight, so yeah. That's what Greg Hardy. So, if you wonder what he was doing, then that's what Greg Hardy is doing. He's fighting in the UFC and he got a victory in his first fight. Domestic violence, man. Greg Hardy, you still a bitch though. You still a bitch. You is still a bitch for what you've done. Still a bitch. Now, time for my weekly rant. And volunteer coach at Childs High School here in Tallahassee, Florida, where I'm located, is charged with battery and cyber stalking. And you should see his picture. I want to punch him in his motherfucking face. Fuck, boy. You cracker-ass cracker. A former volunteer coach at Childs High School has been charged with battery and cyber stalking. Gary Meyer was arrested on June 10th by Leon County Sheriff's Office and was bonded on Monday afternoon. Meyer made his first appearance in court Monday, and he has not been within 500 feet of the victim's school worker home. His arraignment is set for August 2nd at 8:30 a.m. An investigation is underway after a volunteer coach at Childs High School was removed following allegations of inappropriate behavior off campus. According to Leon County Sheriff's, 55-year-old Gary Meyer, once a volunteer coach for the JV baseball team at Childs High School, was removed the week of May 10th after inappropriate contact allegations made by two students. Chris Petley, the communications manager for the Leon County Sheriff's, issued this statement regarding the incident. The district is aware of an allegation of battery by a volunteer coach serving on the Childs JV baseball team. The individual immediately had his volunteer privileges revoked and was removed from Childs coaching staff. The matter is under investigation by local enforcement. Two injunctions have been filed against him following his dismissal from the school. In the injunction filed May 15th, a parent alleged that he was stalking the child victim. According to the complaint, Meyer had been watching the child at practice and had texted the child on several occasions. The injunction asserts that Meyer had driven to the parent's home on May 10th, and that motherfucker would have died on May 10th. Despite never having been there before and walked up to the driveway to speak with the child who was home alone. The parent alleges that the child is now terrified to go outside and that Meyer shouldn't have known where the child lives and when the child would be home alone. Hey man, I'm showing up at your house, Meyer. I'm coming to your house, Meyer. Damn all that, Meyer. They put you out on bond, Meyer. You ain't gonna make it back to the court because I'm coming to your house, Meyer. If it's me, Meyer, I'm gonna catch you at your house and I'm fucking you up. I'm shooting your house up, Meyer. Ain't no way you're going to show up to my house to try to holler at my daughter. You sick. I'm going to meet you at your house, Mayor. You gonna die. You're going to die if it's me, Mayor. I will put my foot so far in your ass, Mayor. You will regret the day you even hit puberty and thought about sex. I swear I would do some sadistic shit to your ass. I would kidnap you, Mayor. I would kidnap you, take you, and lock you in my damn bathroom. I would heat something iron on the back porch. I heat it in fire, like iron something. I heat it in fire, get that bitch hot, and insert that shit in your ass. I would take that same hot flaming iron thing that I have after I take it out your ass and shove it down your throat. I would cut inches off your penis one by one. With extra sharp scissors, those hedge clippers. I'll take a weed whacker and fuck you up. I would run over you with a lawnmower, Mayor. I would think of some sadistic shit to do. I would hang you from a tree by your balls. I think of some sadistic shit to do to you. You're stuck. Because did they say not only did he stalk the girl cyberly, came to her house, but they say he smacked the girl on the ass. Let me read some more. So the girl's scared to go outside now, right? A temporary injunction for protection against stalking was granted in that injunction. A court hearing to extend that injunction is set for July 30th. A temporary injunction for protection against domestic violence was also granted after a second injunction was filed on May 18th, you sick motherfucker. That injunction accuses Mayor of going to the child's bedroom during nighttime hours. The document alleges that he then tried to pull up the child's shirt while they were sleeping. The hearing on that case has also been set for July 30th. Childs has been in the headlines lately with another coach being removed for profanity and racial slurs on social media the day before a video of Childs shooting. Yeah, man, if you don't know, I know a lot of y'all don't know. So Childs High School is basically like one of the rich white people high schools here in Tallahassee, Florida. It's way out going to Georgia. It's almost to Georgia. And they built that school out there because the white people out there wanted to escape from black folk. Now, that's where a lot of drugs, you know, white people environment. So a lot of drugs, a lot of domestic and sexual violence, a lot of things going on, racism, because not too long ago, some white boy was riding down the street, driving down the street in his truck with spewing racial slurs and shooting a BB gun out the window, talking about like the light white girl that did the other day, talking about she going nigger hunting. There's a lot of stuff going on in the child. Racism is alive. Sexual domestic violence is alive. And Mayor is a sick motherfucker. Gary Mayer, I want to punch you in your goddamn face. I swear I would run you over with a lawnmower. I swear I would. Everybody, all the men should get together and jump you. You should not be allowed back in your neighborhood. If I knew you lived next to me and I knew this happened, I'd knock on your door every day to beat your ass. I swear I would. I'd throw shit through your window. I harass you would leave my neighborhood. I harass the fuck out of you, Mayor. You a bitch and a half, Mayor. You and the girl, you in people's bedrooms, pulling up their shirts, smacking people on the ass, stalking people. Man, come on, fuck out of here, man. 17-year-old high school students, you doing this shit too. Fuck out of here, man. You a sick motherfucker, man. You mayonnaise making bitch. Man, come on, man. Your mugshot made me want to puke, Gary Mayer. Gary Mayer, you was a bitch. I hope they fuck you in jail. I hope they fuck you in jail. I hope everything that you want to do to that little girl, they do to you in jail. I swear I hope they fuck you in jail. I'm talking about good and raw. And give your ass an STD in the ass for that sick shit that you doing, you sick. Gary Mayer. Go and burn in hell. Gary, sick fuck, child molesting ass, dick in the booty ass Mayer. You sick fuck. Get your goddamn ass. Get your motherfucking face off my screen, you sick cracker. Sick bitch. Now going from one story of one sick fuck to another story of another sick fuck. Former Pro Bowl tight end Kellen Winslow Jr., and this is from the USA Today. Former Pro Bowl tight end Kellen Winslow Jr. allegedly kidnapped and raped women. Former Pro Bowl tight end Kellen Winslow Jr. allegedly kidnapped and raped women ages 54 and 59 this spring and attempting to rape two elderly women this month, according to criminal complaint by San Diego County prosecutors. You allegedly raping 50-year-old women? I'll shoot you in your motherfucking face, Kevin. Kellen, I'm going to mess your name up for because I want to. Kevin Kesslin, bitch ass. Winslow was arrested Thursday by the San Diego County Sheriff's Department for the second time in 8 days. He faces 9 charges, 8 felonies, and 1 misdemeanor, including 2 counts of rape, 2 counts of kidnapping with the intent to commit rape, 1 count of forcible sodomy, and 2 counts of residential burglary, among others. Each felony count carries a maximum life in prison. Winslow pleaded not guilty to all charges in court appearance Friday. The complaint includes the following allegations of rape and forced oral copulation of a 54-year-old woman in March, kidnap, rape, and sodomy of a 59-year-old woman in May, indecent exposure in May, burglary with the intent to rape a 71-year-old woman in June, burglary with the intent to rape an 86-year-old woman also in June. Winslow's spokesperson, Denise White, denied comment when reached by USA Today Sports on Thursday. A message left with his lawyer, Brian Watkins, was not immediately returned Friday. The son of Pro Football Hall of Fame Kellen Winslow was arrested and briefly jailed June 7th in connection with the suspected burglary at a mobile home park when a neighbor reported seeing him inside a nearby trailer. When the neighbor asked what Winslow was doing there, He said he was looking for his big red dog, Clifford. A spokesperson for Winslow later said he was just being sarcastic. Yeah. Winslow left but was later picked up by officers and spent several hours in jail before being released on a $50,000 bond. The 6th overall pick in the 2004 NFL draft, Winslow played for 4 teams in 9 seasons. He was selected to the Pro Bowl in 2007 as a member of the Cleveland Browns. So, what the fuck is going on? What the hell? Our society is fucking sick, man. Kellen, 71-year-olds, 89-year-olds, 56-year-olds, 59-year-olds, 54-year-olds. Okay, you like older women, but you breaking in people's houses, allegedly, breaking in people's houses, kidnapping people, and raping people old enough to be your parents and grandparents. What the fuck, man? What's going on? What you was a sick mother. You was an alleged sick motherfucker. You and Gary Mayer, two alleged sick motherfuckers. What the hell, man? This is what happens when you build your country on rape, when the foundation of your country is rape, when your country is built on violence and rape. This is the shit that happens. You get sick fucks like this, alleged sick fucks like Kelly Winslow and Gary Mayer going out, committing sexual crimes, sexual assault of people, walking in people's houses and pulling up shirts, kidnapping people, raping people, sodomizing people, old ladies, 86-year-old women, 71-year-old women, 59-year-old women, really sodomizing old women, sticking your butt in their booty holes and hoping you get doo-doo. You's a sick motherfucker, Kelly Winslow. And you need, and if all of this is, oh, man, I'm tired of saying if all of this is true. Now, these stories shouldn't even exist. Like, why do these stories like this exist? Kellen, what the fuck, man? You a sick bitch, man. You a sick bitch. Sick bitch. You, too, need to be fucked in jail. Need to be fucked real hard by some big, hairy, stank dude named Buford who ain't bathed in 2 years, who would just rub dick-filled smegma across your face and make you reevaluate life. See, consequences need to be had to all these actions. You need to have a hot sword shoved up your ass as well. I need to run you over with my car while simultaneously you're getting a hot sword shoved up your asshole for being a sick fuck. What the hell? You guys need help, man. You need help. You sick fuckers need help. ASAP, you sick bitches. Hot garbage motherfuckers in life. Y'all some hot garbage motherfuckers in life. Y'all ain't shit. Kelly Winslow and Gary Mayer, y'all ain't shit. What the hell, man? These allegations should not be out here about you two. What the fuck? Y'all sick, man. Y'all some sick fuckers. And we have to start looking at the environment or the cultures and things, how we socialize our boys. I believe that men are socialized in a fucked up manner. That's why a lot of this fucked up shit happens. A lot of fuck boys are being raised. Fuck boys have been raised, been being raised, but now we're paying attention to how we're raising fuck boys these days. Fuck boys are out here alive and well, and it's time to put an end to the fuck boys. The National Fuck Boys of America, y'all will have to die. I'm a stark opponent against the National Fuck Boys of America and the International Fuck Boys Association. I'm an opponent of all both organizations. Both organizations need to not exist no more because too many fuck boys and bitch-ass niggas and bitch-ass cracker-ass crackers that exist these days, and I don't know what the fuck is going on. Gary Mayer, Kelly Winslow, fuck you two bitch-ass fuck boys, pussy boys, motherfuckers. I hope you two bitches burn in fucking hell, some type of hell. You need to be aired out. You need to have your asshole violated by motherfuckers because, damn it, y'all can't keep y'all hands to y'allself. Y'all think it's okay to violate people. Fuck you all. Y'all need to be raped over the coals, have a hot sword shoved up your ass. Fuck you, Kelly Winslow. And fuck you, Gary Mayer. Go kill yourselves, you sick fuckers. Ah, goddamn. I hate stories like that. I hate that shit, man. That's my weekly rant, man. That's my weekly rant. Fuck you, Gary Mayer. Fuck you, Kelly Winslow. And fuck all you other rapists out there. Ah, man. It's the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm Joseph Ward, your host. Remember, we're right here every week, twice a week on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. We got new surprises coming up, an app coming. We got live streaming coming. Catch us on Instagram, Freedom Train Network, Twitter, Freedom Train Net. Also catch me on Twitter, at JoeWard84, Facebook, Freedom Train Network. Subscribe to our Freedom Train YouTube channel. We out here, man. iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Freedom Train Network, the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm Joseph Ward. I'm out here, man, doing my thing. Two fingers in the air, just don't care.
I holla. I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best